Welcome back to God Invention Radio, presented by Inventor's Digest. And now, here's your host, Brian Free.
Welcome back. Segment 4 of God Invention Radio. Bill Polkinghorne from Discovery Patch is on the line with us. And this is the last segment, Bill. We had a lot of information to cover with the listeners out there. If we could just touch, and I was just at the end of the last segment, I didn't know about paid search type of mining databases. If you could just touch on that for a moment, and let's continue
Searches. I mean, there's services like Derwent and, you know, LexisNexis and so forth. Before the patent office had databases, there were these professional services around. And there's some, you know, based out of Korea. I tried one once. You pay $125 a month or so, and you become a member. IBM started one, and they sold it. I forget. That might be the Derwent one now. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, with these private databases, they might offer additional search techniques and so forth. They're rather expensive. In fact, I know a searcher not too long ago that accidentally spent over $10,000 on the database charges on a search. And you're thinking like, ooh.
You know, what is it? Every time that you make a query, it charges you?
Well, some of them are per query, and some of them were, you know, I don't really use them. I just find the one at the patent office itself is the best. That's the one I use. It's also free. You know, and anybody, it's open to the public. You need to get a security pass and so forth.
But. Okay, so most likely inventors are going to use the USPTO.gov, but there are paid search databases, which was very interesting. I learned that from you, Bill. So now, as far as the invention process, it's very important. I mean, just going back to doing your own search. So at the end of the day, inventors can do their own search. They can go into that hole of kind of going from one patent to another patent and looking at the claims and looking at the prior art and basically taking that and making some kind of either assumption or giving it to a professional to come up with, right, Bill?
Yeah, and see, the thing is that, you know, when you look at, say, I've done an awful lot of searches over the years, and most of them you see that someone's already done before, or at least close, you know. So it's one of those things that they're not going to be able to claim everything that they thought they might be able to claim, but an attorney can look at it and find the components that are actually novel. And so a lot of patents go through with narrower claims.
Okay.
And so, you know, if you're willing to narrow your claims far enough, anybody can get a patent on any subject.
Okay.
You know, by basically claiming almost nothing.
Well, it was so interesting when you were talking about Google patents, how they mine your data and they look. I know inventors in the past have asked about that, and you figure Google's doing millions of billions, gazillions of searches, and it doesn't make a difference. But at the end of the day, they're going through and they say, you know, who's doing patent searches? And
well,
then
see,
they go through.
I don't want to say that I'm with certainty that they're data mining, and I certainly wouldn't accuse them of trying to steal people's ideas. But in the business they're in, they monitor queries. Mm-hmm. Okay, they do that. You know, they know your profile, so they can send you the right advertising, and they get their patent data. They get from the patent office. I mean, that's the only source of the patent data. In fact, they distribute patent data. Google, you know, they distribute bulk patents and so forth.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
So the thing is, you know, they're doing a fine job and they're providing a good public service. And if I were doing a collection search, you know, I look at it and I say, you know, I've got an idea for energy and home and hydrogen. That's not giving away an invention. That's telling you, look, I want to find out what kind of patents are out there that pertain to this subject matter, because this interests me, you know, to a great degree of being able to power my house and produce my own fuel. So I type in, you know, home and hydrogen and power, and I could do that at Google, and all they would be doing is saying that I'm interested in that. And then what I could do is I could keep the novel, you know, after I'd researched it, after I'd done a collection and found out what other people are doing. You might see a big gap. You're saying, wow, you know, nobody's using photovoltaics for electrolysis of water in a hydrogen generator or whatever. Or people are burning the hydrogen. They're not using fuel cells, because you know about fuel cells. So anyway, you can see gaps in the technology. You can say, look, there's an opportunity here for somebody that's clever that can fill this gap. So that might give some of your listeners, know, a way of finding out, you know, when you see, you go into a neighborhood and there's, a house every 30 feet, there's no land available. So if you can, you don't want to get into a market where you're competing with, you know, 10,000 people.
Right, where there's no opportunity.
Yeah, one more, fuzzy dice clip or something like that for a rearview mirror probably isn't going to be worth a lot.
Okay.
But an awful lot of inventors do come up with some very clever things that have very high value.
Well, tell us, Bill, for the last couple minutes of the show, give us your take on the invention process or the inventive process and how important invention is. I know you have a good point on innovation today.
When I speak with inventors, I don't ever want to be discouraging, but I do like inventors to know that it's a commitment on their part and it's a long process and it involves an investment, and when you're invested in yourself, if you don't win in the end, you're thinking, wow, I should have bought Apple stock or something. You could have done better by investing in someone else. But it's independent inventors that come up with an awful lot of material that produces small businesses and small companies, which provides an awful lot of employment. And that's something the country could use right now. So I'd like to encourage all the inventors to, don't give up on their ideas, but just to step cautiously. Don't give their kids college funds away for something that they didn't even search to find out if it had been done before.
Right.
So start off by, getting well informed, and a way to do that is, and it's easy for everybody now. Anybody with a computer and access to the patent office website can go out and collect information and read. It's just like a great technology library. And then at some point, when you've convinced yourself that you're familiar with what you're doing, then it's always good. I can change my spark plugs, but I pay a mechanic to take care of my car, and I, pay a plumber. You find somebody that has been doing it for a long time. And when you need extra help when you get down the road, there's an awful lot of people that you can call on. There's thousands and thousands of attorneys all over the country, and these attorneys know, who does searches and who does drafting, and some of them go on to, assist you in marketing and international trade and so forth. So there's a lot of really good attorneys no matter where you live, and everybody's got a phone, so it doesn't even really matter where your attorney lives.
Right.
And I know an awful lot of good searchers. Quite often with the searchers I know, somebody will send me a search and I'll say, I'm not really good at that. So I'll pass it off to a friend of mine, who's better at, like, I don't do genetic engineering, but I know somebody that's great at it. And I don't really like doing transmissions, things like that, but I know somebody that does. So by knowing a lot of searchers, you can sort of help get the search to the right person. But it's always most cost effective. I always like to do things myself until I'm sure I need help. And I think all the inventors, need to do the same thing. Keep the cost down at first. Get your confidence up that you're well informed because of the searching that you've done, and then proceed from there, because there are a lot of risks involved, and not every inventor makes a lot of money, and probably a lot of people know that.
Right, but like you were saying, you have you do your search and you put a plan together and kind of put it into perspective of what needs to get done first, second, third, fourth, and do it as you're going along, and just make sure that you're doing every step right. Like you're saying, you want to go to a specialist. You want to be able to go to someone that knows what they're doing to help you and guide you and make it easier.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people out there that are willing to help you with that. There's on your own show, you've heard venture capitalists and angel investors and, sometimes family and friends and so forth. But, I just did a job for an independent inventor this summer, a young lady who lives down
show's
in Florida.
Show's just about to end, Bill.
I want
to thank you very much. I really appreciate you being on the show. I got some great feedback during the show here from inventors. Thank you very much. Great information. That was Bill Polkinghorne from Discovery Patch on Got Invention Radio on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in Internet talk. Till next week, keep on inventing. Thank you. Good night.
If you own a business, here's a concept that can give your business a serious breakthrough. I call it the stadium pitch. What if I could put all of your potential buyers in a giant stadium and give you the chance to walk out and present to them all at once, making your company famous in a single day? Could you do it? 99% of business owners surveyed are not prepared. Are you? If we put you in front of all your potential buyers right now, listen, there are 14 strategic objectives for an opportunity like this, and I'll bet you won't think of more than two or three. Heck, I'll give you all 14 if you call 800-833-0111. This is Tony Robbins. I've spent the last three decades creating business breakthroughs, and now I've teamed with Chet Holmes, the author of the number one business book, The Ultimate Sales Machine. This stadium pitch concept is invaluable if you're a business owner who wants to be at the cutting edge of business breakthroughs today. And it's expertly depicted in a stunning report that I'll give you as my gift if you call 800-833-0111. Leave us your email, and we'll email the report to you in 5 seconds. Call 800-833-0111.
Okay, you admit to yourself that you have a huge credit card problem. However you got there, you've racked up $10,000, $20,000, or more in debt, and it mounts up daily, right? I don't need to tell you what your credit card statements look like, but I'm here to give you some help. All you need to do is make one quick, no-obligation call to the Debt Solutions Network, and one of our partner companies will help you with proven strategies to help you get out of debt. They can reduce your debt, in some cases up to 50%, and help stop the collection calls. If you're buried in credit card debt, call the Debt Solutions Networks now and learn for free how they can help you get out of debt for much less than you owe. Here's the number.
800-814-5188. 800-814-5188. Learn how you can get out of credit card debt now. Call now for a free debt analysis. 800-814-5188. 800-814-5188.
Did you know? A 2009 survey of 22 U.S. hedge fund managers by London-based Moonraker Fund Management found that 90% of these managers had bought physical gold for personal investment. Isn't it time you consider gold? You don't need to be a market professional to enjoy the benefits. Gold is for people looking to diversify their portfolio. It's a scarce resource with intrinsic value. Talk to your financial advisor, then call and speak with Goldline to learn more about the types of gold available, including Swiss and French gold coins and proof American coins. Considering gold as part of your diversification strategy is common sense. Call Goldline at 800-711-9042. Ask them about the different payment options and read the important risk information to see if owning gold is right for you. As a thank you for your call, you'll receive the latest issue of the American Advisor Newsletter, a $25 value with the Goldline Investor Kit. Call Goldline today at 800-711-9042. 800-711-9042.